Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. I talk loud, so you'll like everyone to remember that it's no coincidence that everyone's here today. You're here because God wants you to be here. And when I have a service to preach, the first thing I do when I go to my Lord is to ask Him that, Lord, first the forgiveness of my sin, because that's my belief, and then that He guides me to be His messenger that day. That I don't know who's coming, especially on a service like this. I know very little about anybody other than my son, my daughter-in-law, and my five grandkids. So I'm preaching what God gives me to preach. And I ask Him that the words that I bring, You hear the words that those that are in need. And that He will give you, and I believe and have faith in my Lord that when I preach, I might be touching 20 different people a day with 20 different needs. But God's going to give you what you need to hear today. So I'd like to start. I'm going to do a couple quick verses. And then I'm going to be preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today. But first, I'll just jump in Romans chapter 1 verse 17. It says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're all at a different level of faith. But we live our lives in that faith and in our trust in the Lord. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it reminds us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So as we go through our daily lives, we don't know what's ahead, but we have faith that the Lord will carry us and keep us and guide us through that time. So now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you'd like to read along, I preach out of the King James Bible. So, but that is where I let the Lord lead me, and I jumped too far. Here we go. And in Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians here, it reminds us that not everybody's on the same level with God. The heading in my Bible says, Baby Christians are fed on milk. And just like we raise our children, we're God's children. So He doesn't start us at the top of the chain and says, Here's your steak and lobster, let's go for it. He helps us along the way and He feeds us a little bit at a time and He gives us what we're ready for. But He also reminds us that He's always with us. He will not forsake us or leave us. He's there. We just have to remember to reach up and to acknowledge Him, to ask Him for that help. He's not going to force it upon us. Verse 1, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So remember, as you, your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, me as a guest pastor today, we're all different people, but God uses those differences. If we all preach the same message, we might not touch all the same people. Because just like in the workforce, people learn differently. Some people are great at reading a book and following the instructions in the book. Others can't process that, and they have to hear. And through hearing, they learn what they need to do. Other people need to go a step farther, and they actually need to do. They have to feel what they're working on. And that goes back to our faith. Our faith is what allows us to feel the Spirit at work within us. So we have all these mechanisms where we have the Word of God in our Bible and we read. We come to services and Sunday schools and we hear and learn. And then we have the practical application of our faith. do we step out? How do we reach the people we need to reach? Verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So God tells us, he came to the world, and when he left, he said to go and to tell. That was our commission, to go and to tell the world what they saw, the things that Jesus did, the miracles that were out there and performed. He tells us we should live our lives telling about those. And he goes so far as to tell us that we can do even greater things than the people saw him. We just have to have that faith, that we can reach out, and that faith is there that will give us the ability to move mountains, that will give us the ability to overcome. And in Sunday school, the adult one back there today, they talked about how the world, I look at it as upon losing faith. They don't find it, but they're so inundated with the ways of the world and how fast they can go out to the internet and find people when they're upset, that it takes away from their faith. They can't see that faith, but they can see people on the internet. They think they're finding answers, but Satan's using it as a deceitful measure against their faith. So we need to stand tall, and every opportunity we get, we need to be able to tell them simply what the Lord has done for us. They need to see somebody speak up and say, yes, I was going through a rough patch. I almost committed suicide. But God talked to me because I asked him to. God led me to a scripture in the Bible that helped me through that situation. He sent me to a person, a teacher, a friend, a neighbor, who'd been through something similar and helped me through it. But we have to have the faith to reach up and to grab it. And we have to have, as Jesus commissioned us, once we see that, share. Because that's what's lacking in these people's minds these days, is that when they need someone to share something with, they fall to the internet. They don't know who else to reach out to. And all God wants is he'll show us the way if we just reach up to him. So even if we don't have that exact answer for them, we can tell them that we know who does. We know Jesus will help them if they reach out and ask him to. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So it talks about, you know, the precious metals all the way down to the wood and the stubble. The precious metals are the things that we were doing God's work. We let God guide us. The wood and the stubble, those are the things that had some positive outcomes, but but they were from us. We didn't reach out and ask God to help us at first. We went upon our own selves, and our reward is just what we did for ourselves because we didn't let God guide us. And he will strengthen each and every one of us and get us through those times and trials and tribulations. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? Our very bodies are God's temple. And he resides in us if we choose to have him as our Lord and Savior. He will lead us and teach us. Verse 17, it tells us, though, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. And he says to look at ourselves and which temple are we? Are we the one that is living a holy life? Are we the one that's living a carnal life, a worldly life? But God will forgive us. He will lead us. He will teach us. We just have to reach for it. And now, thinking about the internet these days and all the deceit Satan can spread on it. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. So if we think back in the Old Testament, when King Solomon took over after his father King David, God said, Solomon, what can I give you? And he asked for wisdom. And it wasn't the wisdom of the world. It was for God's wisdom, spiritual wisdom, to make wise decisions. And just like the Israelites back then, just like his father David, just like us today, even if we ask for those wisdom, there's going to be times we're going to fail. David failed when he had a man sent to the front of the war so that David could take his wife. Solomon failed because he took wives from other nations and he let that to keep them happy. They brought in idols to worship. We fail, I would dare say, nearly daily. But do we recognize that? I think that's what people struggle with today, is they have a sense of failure, but they're looking for somebody to say it's okay. But unfortunately, they see the people that Satan's using to deceive them about that it's okay. It's okay to be the way of the world. It's okay, let everybody be nice, fit in. But they don't reach up to God and says, it's okay. You recognized it. You can work with that. I can work with that. In Revelations, it tells us, God says he wishes we were either hot or cold. If we're hot for the Lord, he can use us to touch others, to be a good ministry. We can spread the ways that God has helped us. We can show examples by the way we live our lives. If we're cold, we don't know God yet. We're an open slate. He can start by feeding us the milk. He can continue till we're able to eat the vegetables and up to the meat if we trust and guide in him. But the thing that he can't work with he says, is he wishes that we weren't lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, you're neither hot, you're neither cold. So you're stuck in the middle. And he can't use that. You've got your mind set, and you've got blinders on, like a horse in a horse race. And all you can see is what's straight ahead of you. You're not looking up spiritually. You're not looking down to where you're falling into the pit. You're just running life for the running of the life. And you're not open to teaching. You're not open to hearing. You're not open to people showing you the way. So God wants us to be hot so that we can show those that are cold which way to go. I have a couple more quick verses. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. This is the two great commandments. But when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, and that's how Satan tries to get to us. He tempts us. It's like when we were younger kids, I dare you. Okay, you didn't bite. I double dare you. You still didn't bite. I double dog dare you. Well, now I better bite because now I'm going to show my weaknesses. So, and that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to jump the wrong path, even though we know it's not the right path to take. So he's tempting us to take the wrong action. But it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So the lawyer's asking him, which is the great commandment in the law? And the lawyer's thinking the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were still stuck. They had a position of authority. People looked up to them. They didn't want to give that up. So they were living in Moses' Ten Commandments. So he's asking Jesus, of those Ten Commandments, which one's the greatest? And Jesus, knowing that, you know, if I have to stop and think through 10 questions every time if I should do something or not, this is how I would put it, is that I don't have time for that. So he gives us two. It says, Jesus said unto them in verse 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. No idols. Live your life loving God because he loves us. And he says, this is the first and the great commandment. And then he continues and says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. And he didn't replace the Ten Commandments by these two. He actually fulfills them. Because if we love our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, we're not going to do anything against what God's wishes are. We're not going to fall into the temptations that Satan brings upon us. And the second one says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We don't go about trying to bring harm upon ourselves. We don't steal from ourselves. We don't kill ourselves. So all the other commandments are met if we love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. We're going to help them when they're down. We're going to lift them up when they're downtrodden. We're going to pray for them when we see them in trial or tribulation, because that's what we would do for ourselves. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And everyone has the potential to be our neighbor, not just the person on either side of our door. Our coworkers are our neighbors. Our extended family are our neighbors. The people we meet in the grocery store are our neighbors. Do we just treat them politely? Do we wish them a good day? Or do we ignore them? That homeless person on the street is our neighbor. Do we have a chance to lift them up? If we're traveling down the road and we see what looks like a single woman with a flat tire, do we stop and help? Or anybody, do we at least ask, Nowadays, almost everybody has a cell phone. Have you been able to get anybody in contact? Is anybody on their way to help you? And if not, we could call the police and say somebody's broke down on the interstate. We might not have what they need, but we can make sure we have a connection, make sure they've already been able to reach out for help. And that's what we do when we tell God's word. We give them the ability to reach out for help, to have that in their mind that I know somebody who got through that. I can get through this too. And I like to end in John chapter 3. And I would be remiss with my faith in Jesus if I didn't bring this to you today. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. People will never believe on God if they're never exposed to God. We heard the saying, if somebody go to a restaurant and you enjoyed the restaurant, they say you'll probably tell one other person. But if that was a bad waitress or it took forever to get your food, they'll say, we'll tell 10 people. That's what the internet is. That's what the world is today. They're grabbing on to the dark. They're not looking out to the light and sharing the good. They're all wallowing in the bad. And we, as believers, need to go out and show them, no, it's not that way at all. Our missionary isn't across the seas necessarily. It might be in our very backyard. God doesn't ask us all to travel to a new country. Doesn't ask us all to join the Peace Corps. His commission was that we would tell what we know of him and let him provide the increase. We may plant the seed, we may water the seed, but God will have them grow when we do. That's my message today. I'd like to close in prayer if nobody has any questions. In our church, we allow people to ask questions or thoughts, interject anything you like. We even asked, I didn't start out that way, we even let them interrupt me. If they had a question, say, whoa, time out. Let's go here. So does anybody have a thought or a question? Then let's close our sermon in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be your messenger today. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you open the hearts of each and every one that heard the message. And you've mentioned over and over in Revelation, one of my favorite portions of a verse is, to he that hath an ear, let him hear. So open our ears, Lord Jesus, and not just to the words that we read, but to the message they have for our lives. Guide us and strengthen us with these words, and let the Spirit remind us when we come into a situation, and give us the faith, give us the strength to be obedient to you and to share what we have so that you can provide the increase, Lord. This we ask in your blessed name. Amen.